Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of High Velocity Radio. And this is my very favorite episodes because these are the thought leader radio episodes where we spotlight the best and the brightest doing the most interesting things. Katie.
Yes.
This is going to be a good one.
Yes, it is.
You know why? Because we got Audrey Howes, and she is with my favorite letter of the alphabet, the 27th letter. Welcome, Audrey, with 27th letter media.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Audrey, why don't you tell everybody the 27th letter so we can, you know, it doesn't have to be between us anymore.
Sure. Well, up until the 1800s, kids used to say X, Y, Z, and per se, and. And the 27th letter of the alphabet was the symbol we now refer to as the ampersand. It was eventually dropped off the alphabet in the 1820s, but we think it should still be part of the alphabet, and so we've kept it as our brand.
Is the ampersand?
Ampersand, yeah, your and sign, if you don't know what it is.
And so then how does that pertain to what you guys do? What does the ampersand mean to you?
So we like to tell all of the clients that we work with that we really look beyond going from A to Z and take them all the way to the 27th letter, giving them extra, helping them to do extra in the fields that they're working in and looking for creative ways to extend the value that they're providing to their customers and clients and also the value that we're providing to them.
Now, at the heart of what you do, do you consider yourself a marketing firm, or how do you kind of define yourself, or I don't want to use that in a small way, but how are you serving folks?
So we are a marketing agency, and we focus on, we take a different approach than a lot of agencies. We focus on messaging first. We find that a lot of agencies can make beautiful collateral, design killer websites, create phenomenal videos and social media posts, but if the messaging is wrong, then it doesn't matter how good it looks. And so we focus on getting a simple, convertible message on whatever piece we're creating for you first, and then make it beautiful. So we do all of your traditional marketing efforts, but just approach it from a messaging first standpoint.
And when you're saying messaging, that's different than branding?
It's a little bit different than branding. They all kind of play together, but it's more copywriting and how the visuals interact with the copy. So a lot of times, folks will talk on their website a lot about how great they are as a company, but what they don't realize is the person who's coming to the website doesn't care that they've been in business for 20 years and that their grandfather founded the company and that they've got a team of 10. What they really want to know is if you can solve the problem that they have come to your website for. So we flip the script and we focus all of our copy and imagery on the client or customer that business is trying to reach instead, really simplify it and take out a ton of jargon, take out a ton of copy, and make sure that those two pieces match really well on any piece that we're creating.
And like for me, I prefer somebody thinking that we're doing a great job rather than me tell them they're doing a great job. So are you trying to help the consumer kind of lead them to that conclusion so they come upon it themselves rather than your client shouting it from the rafters?
Yeah, exactly. And it's really about the consumer. So if I'm going to a plumber's website, we're working on a plumber's website right now, I've got an immediate need, likely. My sink's leaking, or I've got a toilet that's clogged or whatever. And so I want to know that they can solve my problem, and how long they've been in business and their reviews are important. That all establishes authority for that client. But the language and the visuals need to speak to the problem that I'm having, both externally, so my physical problem is a clogged toilet, and then internally wanting to make sure that I'm making a good decision as a homeowner. And so it's kind of speaking to both what you're searching for as well as what really motivates us, which is trying to be, you know, good humans making good decisions.
Now, when you're working on messaging with a client such as a plumber,
sure.
How do you kind of, the challenge, I guess, would be that people in their head think they know what a plumber should do and should look like. How do you kind of make them kind of stand out in the marketplace?
Well, our approach, we do a few different things. We spend a lot of time with the owners and the key stakeholders in the organizations. We often like to talk to the guys, not just the owner of the plumbing company, for example, but the guys who are actually going out meeting with the clients, and then the clients as well, so that we can get a good perspective on how each of those different audiences describe the business. And then from there, we'll really, we back it out, combine all of those bits of messaging, all of those notes, and look for where the highlights are, what rose to the top in all three of those and how they describe themselves. And that's what we'll focus on as we go forward. So, for example, the plumber that we're working with right now, they're a different kind of plumber. They have an apprenticeship program for folks who are looking to get into the plumbing industry. They give back to the community. They're a local company. They've been around for a long time, which is important, but the way that their plumbers interact in their process is very different than calling for a 1-800 plumber or something like that. And so those are the things that we try and pull out. And every business is different. Obviously, there's a lot of similarities when you get into the world of plumbing or consumer-based goods. And so we look for what those unique value propositions are and then what that means to the consumer that they're trying to reach. And that's how we try and message those.
So you spend the bulk of your energy in kind of creating the appropriate messaging. And then once you have that, then you also help them execute and communicating that to the customers?
Yeah, exactly. So 9 times out of 10, the first place that we implement the messaging is on a website, because that's, you know, your online business card, that's where most people are finding you. And so we want to make sure that it's a really clear, easy to follow story, that the homepage doesn't offer too many calls to action, that it's very direct with what you actually want the consumer to do when they visit the site, and that you're interacting with them on their external and internal needs. And then we'll help them implement it and across all of their brands. So we'll work with their sales team on how they are going to now use this messaging to talk with prospects. We'll work with their customer service on how they answer phones. We'll help them create pieces of collateral that have a similar feel as far as the way that they're written and the way that they look, and make sure that we're speaking to all of the same problems we've identified in the process.
Now, how do you handle the social media aspect of it and creating the content that's relevant and stays to the message and kind of incorporate some of the storytelling components that you're mentioning?
Yeah, so social media, we can actually have a lot more fun with it, because we can take the script and bring about out a lot more personality in the brand. And so we can do things like more telling a case study in a really fun way. Like, I called the plumber and there was water shooting out everywhere, and Dan showed up at my door, and do a fun video. Once we have the basis, it's a lot easier to go back to. We've got something that we use called a brand script. So we go back to that and go, does this story still fit? Are we still solving the problems we said we were solving? And if so, then you almost have free license to just have fun with it. We find that a lot of our clients are getting a little bit tired of social media, and so not all of them are even pursuing that channel anymore. Instagram is probably where we have the most fun, because we can do a lot with visuals there, and we find a lot of traction for our clients on that channel.
Do you find that they're frustrated with social media because they don't have kind of interesting content to share? Like, it becomes like, you know, like an accountant. How much, you know, what's an accountant going to share every day? Like, they're doing the same thing.
That's a big part of it. So we work, the plumber is one example. I mean, I don't follow my plumber on Facebook. I don't actually want to follow my plumber on Facebook.
Right.
Realtors are another one we work with a lot. And there's a super crowded market, and there's only so many house postings that people want to see. So we look for, what are other value adds that you can bring into your customers' lives? What kind of local content can you share? How can you be an authority in the area on perhaps local nonprofits that would be great to get involved with and that you care about as an organization? And posting more about that than about the business all the time, which then feeds that consumer to have even more positive positive feelings towards the brand.
Now, do you find that your clients are, it sounds like you're treating them kind of more holistically than like, okay, these are the 14 tactics that we use for everybody, that you're trying to really understand the why behind what they do and to help them kind of communicate what makes them different and special and then why somebody should choose them. That seems like more kind of what you guys are doing as opposed to some kind of more transactionally minded marketing firms.
Yeah, we don't have packages. We look at every client who comes in the door uniquely. And for example, with the plumber, they just don't want to be on Facebook, so we're not forcing that for them. We are looking at other channels and opportunities. For our realtors, we have a few different things that we would recommend. They don't have to do any of them, but we like to look at every company and see what they care about, what their particular audience cares about, where their niche is active, and then create a custom plan for them. We find that just having social media profiles just to have them is often not effective and can more often than not be harmful because they're not kept up to date. You're getting likes that you don't even need because they're not your audience, and it's not really beneficial. So we always like to look at who our client is first, make a plan from there. And a lot of them don't necessarily include social media. Every one of them includes a website, but not everything includes social media.
Now, how important is design and clean design in your work?
Oh, it's crucial. It's absolutely crucial. So when I say messaging, a lot of people hear that as copywriting, which is a big part of it. But we also have to make sure that the visuals that we choose to go with those elements, the copy, are clean, that they are easily understood, that they're showing what success looks like if we work with this brand, and that they're more authentic feeling. So we're often digging deep into unusual stock sites so that we don't just get smiley, happy office workers that you see on everybody else's site. We do a lot of photo shoots and video shoots with our clients so that you can see what it looks like when you go visit them as opposed to a person that is answering the phone that doesn't even work in the state.
Right.
So it's crucial. Clean design, minimal design is absolutely essential both online and off for pieces that convert.
And authenticity sounds like an important component.
Authenticity, I think sometimes brands are a little bit afraid to let some of their personality in, and they end up with content that feels so false, and bringing in a little bit of personality, speaking to the needs of your consumers, makes you feel like a person as opposed to a bot. And we all, you know, interact with bots, but all the bots are trying to become more like humans. So I think it's really key to not be afraid to be authentic and be who you are, because when you do that as a brand, you find your niche, and it may be smaller, but it's going to be a lot more effective for you to go after that than it is to go after, for example, the whole city of Denver. And I think it's something that brands shouldn't shy away from.
Now, I recently went through Seth Godin's Alt-MBA program, and he spoke a lot about tribes. It sounds like some of the work that you're doing is trying to kind of find the tribe for each of your clients to help them really serve them. Is that part of what you guys are about?
100%. And I actually went through that program as well. And we don't call them tribes. I think that's a really common term. But with a plumber, for example, everyone's going to need him at some point, but he doesn't focus on everyone. He's got a few specific niches that he's really good at, and it's not going to be everyone. For a real estate agent, especially in Denver, I don't know what it's like in Atlanta, but our market is crazy. We have more real estate agents than we have listings, and so it's incredibly competitive. So rather than trying to be everything to everyone, we work with our realtors on who are you, who do you work best with, and let's find them and work with them in this area instead of driving all over the city and trying to sell real estate in areas that you're not passionate about, you don't like, and that you don't want to live in yourself. So we really work with every brand, no matter who they are, to find who is going to be their most, as another Seth Godin term, raving fans. Where are their raving fans? And help them find those, and then write our content and design our visuals to go after those raving fans.
So they can kind of own that niche.
Exactly. And those niches, as Seth Godin talks about, I mean, they may be tiny, but they're very passionate. And when you find, when you stumble into those passionate communities, it's a pretty amazing thing. It's not, it's, this is not a science that we've got dialed in, but a lot of times brands just want to be so generic that what they don't realize is that they're missing an opportunity to find those raving fans who just want somebody to speak their language.
Right. They're diluting their message by trying to appeal to everyone instead of just really sharpening their message by speaking to the people who are like them and they know the most about and they want to serve the most.
Yes. Yeah.
Now,
and it's a, I feel like a lot of brands see it as a risky move, but it's a really smart move if it's done strategically and done well.
Right. That's what I wanted to talk to you about. Now, how do you educate your clients where you're saying, you know what, it's a big world out there and there's lots of people that could use you, but why don't you focus on this group that you really know well? Don't they a lot of times feel like they're missing out? And you got to kind of manage their expectations. Like it seems like it's counterintuitive to go after a smaller group to get more of it rather than to go after everybody.
Yeah. And honestly, we can be pretty specific about the clients that we work with. And if they don't buy into our model, then we're not going to be the best agency for them. So we'll do a lot of client education up front. Our consultations are always free. We do a lot of discovery with them. And if they don't, number one, buy into a messaging first model, and number two, buy into messaging to an audience that isn't generic, then we're not going to be the best fit. And we can't convince them of that, and that's okay. We don't, you know, but we do a lot to try and help them see the value and doing, going after those smaller niches. And then one of the things we talk about with them is we could do 12 different websites. You know, they don't have to, and each one could speak to a specific niche. They don't have to, you don't have to have one that just speaks to everyone. And if you want to go after, for example, we were working with a shoe company recently and they wanted to go after bachelorette and bridal parties and sororities and runners, and each of those audiences speaks a very different language. There may be some overlap, but we want to make sure that each of those target audiences, when they land on that website, they feel like it's for them. And so our recommendation was basically landing pages that speak to each of those audiences that you use in those targeted campaigns. And the main website is really, really generic, which is working really well for them. But it's normally, if they don't buy in, we're not going to be the best fit. And that's okay.
So now when you're going out to market, who are the people that are attracted to you? Are you more B2C or B2B, or like what's your niche?
So that's really funny. We haven't really specialized. I love working mostly with small to medium sized businesses. That's where we find we can add the most value for a few reasons. We have a lot less red tape and a lot less convincing to do to get all the way up to say this is really a good strategy. And we're entrepreneurial as well. We like working with entrepreneurs and people who have that kind of spirit. We do about 70% of our business with kind of traditional B2C companies, and then about 30% we work with nonprofits and other organizations in that spectrum. And we like that mix a lot. But we've worked with everyone from photographers to real estate agents to camps. We're working with a camp right now, to medical device companies, to inventors. And we find that the approach we take is really effective for all of those markets because it's not specific to an industry. It's specific to a framework.
Now, are your clients mostly around you, or do you have clients all over the planet?
Not all over the planet. That's a little bit more complicated, but we do have clients all over the country, and that's been really fun to just interact with different areas of the country. We've got a couple of clients in Georgia, actually. And then I would say probably 50% of our clients are Denver area, but even our Denver area clients, we very rarely meet face-to-face.
It's all done virtually?
Yeah. Lots of phone calls, Zoom calls, lots of emails. So
now, storytelling is an important component of your business, enough so that you got involved with the Story Brand Guides program. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So Story Brand is Donald Miller's framework that helps brands basically do what we do, simplify their messaging and tell their story in a really clear, compelling way. And I have followed Donald Miller just personally as an author for several years, went through the Story Brand framework when I was launching 27th Letter Media and loved it, and said, let me know when you launch some sort of a affiliate program for this, because every single one of my clients would benefit from this, but a lot of my clients can't afford to come to Nashville for a week and do this training. So it was April of last year, I got to be a part of the very first group of Story Brand Guides who are certified. And that has been tremendous for us, because it gives us a language for our clients that we can help them learn to speak, either if they go through the online course. Many of them come to us after having read the book or listened to his podcast, and they really just want somebody to help them execute it, because they're just trying to wear the 17 hats that they have to wear every day. So we love the framework. We believe in it, and basically pivoted the agency after becoming certified to just work off of that framework. And it's been really successful for us and our clients.
Can you share kind of a quickie version of that, so people can understand some of what that's about?
Yeah. So it's a 7-part framework, and it follows kind of a storytelling framework that's been around for years and years and years. So it starts with a character. And if you are a brand, your character is going to be your customer or your client. And that character has problems, and they're usually in 3 parts. One is the external problem. So that's the thing that I'm searching for. My foot hurts. The internal problem is the more emotional, fear-based doubts and insecurities. So if my foot hurts, perhaps I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to run and keep up with my kids. And I'm worried that there's something that's not going to be fixable. And then there's another problem, which is sort of this philosophical problem. And those are a lot easier to nail for example, nonprofits who are doing a lot of good in the world. But in this scenario, let's just say the philosophical problem is that you should be able to run and keep up with your kids without any pain in your feet. So those are their problems. Once we've figured out what their problems are, we figure out who our character is, we introduce ourselves as the guide. And this is where the big difference between StoryBrand and other marketing models comes in, is we're not the hero of the story. Our customers and clients are the hero of the story. So we come in, we offer empathy and authority. So empathy is, I understand what it feels like to have sore feet. And I have been doing research in this industry for 20 years and have developed this product to help you solve that problem. So you've got empathy and authority. And you give them a plan. And this is also where a lot of brands lose it, is they make it too hard to engage with them. So the plan should be really simple and easy to cross. If you think about the top of a waterfall and a stream, you're not going to just wade into the stream and hope you make it and don't fall down the waterfall. You're looking for someone to point out the 3 rocks that you should step on to cross that waterfall. And so we help our clients simplify their process to things like, buy this device, use it every day, and then you're pain-free. And you see this a lot in a lot of different marketing efforts. Once they have followed that plan, you have to tell them what the stakes are in the story. And so we spend a lot of time on what success looks like. If I follow the plan, and that would be running pain-free and being able to chase after my kids and running a marathon or whatever. And then what failure looks like if you don't choose to purchase this product or service. And that might be that you waste a lot of money on podiatrists, and that your feet continue to get worse, and that you stop running altogether. So it's a 7-part framework that is used across your organization. So let's say that you're an organization that sells a bunch of different things. You have one general brand script for the organization, and then each different pillar of the organization has a brand script as well that also speaks to each of those different audiences. So the shoe company I mentioned previously would have one brand script that is who they are as an organization, speaking to their generic character, and then they have a brand script for each of the different characters they're reaching, so the sorority and the bridal parties and the runners. But it needs to make sure that the messaging, while it might be tweaked, still matches the overarching global brand.
And the first part, if somebody wants to learn more about the story brand philosophy, is that book, Building a Story Brand. Is that what you would recommend?
Yeah, it's a great book. Donald Miller has done a really good job of making this very accessible for people. So obviously you can hire a guide like myself. You can go read the book. You can go to one of his live workshops in Nashville. And then he also has an online course. His podcast is phenomenal. It's another one that you should check out. But I really recommend that if you're a business owner or an entrepreneur, or even just, let's say, a CMO, it's worth looking at, because it really does flip the script on how traditional marketing is done and makes it way more about your customer and way less about you.
Right. So when your customer is the hero, everybody wins, I think.
Yes, everybody wins. And you want to be your customer to be the one who's the hero of their story, because then it makes them more loyal to you as opposed to you coming in to swoop in and save the day.
Yeah, which again, that's a little counterintuitive. And it seems like that's kind of part of your brand is thinking a little bit counterintuitively. Can you talk a little bit about how you got started?
Yeah, so it was a big accident, really. I have a long history in marketing. My dad is still a real estate agent. So I used to do a bunch of stuff for him, not even realizing that it was marketing. Went to college got a communication degree and worked actually as a youth pastor for 7 years at a large church. And a lot of what I was doing was marketing, trying to get volunteers, trying to get kids to come on trips, trying to do all this stuff. And after I was finished there, I went and ran the creative division for an email marketing company. And that's where I really got sort of the bigger marketing buzz. I loved what I was doing there and started to pursue some small projects on my own with some friends and family that turned out to be very successful, and decided to actually just start a business. Now, I have never written a business plan. I have never visited my small business office. I didn't even know that I was supposed to be paying quarterly taxes and unemployment and all these things. So it's been a big learning curve for me, because it wasn't well planned, but it's also been one of the most fun things I've done in my life to start this agency and then see clients' businesses also transform from the work that we've partnered with them to do.
Can you share a story maybe from one of your successes that had the greatest impact or that you're most proud of?
Sure. Let's think. I would say one of the clients that is probably the nearest and dearest to our hearts is an organization in Colorado Springs called Dream Centers, and they provide housing for women and children coming out of homelessness. And they came to us. I actually met their executive director at my Story Brand Guide training. He was there going through just the general Story Brand process. And a week after I got finished being certified, he called and said, "My friend can build a new website for us, but we need all new content and we need it in 2 weeks." And I said, "Okay, we can do this." So the team and I went to work and wrote content without even having visited Dream Centers. The only person I've ever interacted with at Dream Centers was Matthew. And we were able to tell the story of Dream Centers in a really clear way that allowed their website to then be much more usable, help donors and people who needed help understand how they could access, either give or access the tools that were available. And since then, we've been able to work with their whole team and help them understand the StoryBrand framework. So every email that goes out is clear, has a single call to action, tells a story, and they've seen a really, really great increase in both the way that their website's being used and just general engagement with their brand by flipping the script a little bit and simplifying their message.
Wow, that sounds like quite an impact. You must be very proud of kind of using your skills to really make a difference in people's lives. That's always wonderful.
Yeah, we love the nonprofit partners we work with, and we are very selective over the nonprofits we work with because we want to make sure that we care about what they're doing also personally. And it's probably where we get the greatest joy out of our everyday jobs, is seeing them see success from the efforts that we've done with them.
Now, so what's next for you? How are you, what's going to be something that's going to happen in the remainder of the year that you're going to be high-fiving your team about?
That's a great question. You know, I don't know. I'm really hoping that we can find some more clients that we can do long-range story brand projects with. So a lot of our clients, we do more project-based, and we'll start and just do their website, and then they'll come back to us a few months later, and we'll do emails or whatever. But I would love to find more of those clients who see us as that partner to say, we're going to let you walk us through from point A all the way to the 27th letter, to execute this in every aspect of our brand. The other thing I would really like to be doing more of is actually going out and leading these story brand sort of marketing sessions. We've done a couple of those here locally, and it's been really fun to interact with a whole team together and have them watch them see the light bulbs come on and go, oh, I get it. And this is what I need to do to make my messaging more clear in the area of business that I'm serving. So I think those two things. But really, we all of us on the team are loving what we're doing. We're a really tight-knit team, and hopefully we just continue to grow and find the clients who love telling a good story and attracting the right fans the way we do.
Now, if somebody wanted to have more substantive conversation and, you know, even just about having, helping them tell their story, what's the best way to get a hold of you, website and whatever coordinates appropriate?
Yeah, so our consultations are always complimentary. I love talking to people and hearing about how they started their businesses and what struggles they're having and seeing how we could potentially add value or not. But the best way to schedule those calls, if you go to 27th, that's 27th, lettermedia.com, the top right button says schedule a call, and you'll see our calendar, and you can book a call right there, and it gets added to our calendar, and we touch base with you and go from there.
Good stuff, Audrey. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Thought Leader Radio.